strongholds. Gives you freedom and joy and peace in your heart and your spirit. This morning I know there were several things that occurred, and I think some of those things are going to be manifested in your life, and you're going to see those manifestations in the next coming days, where God has taken things in your life that, and I'm talking to Christians, things in your life that have become fortresses and strongholds that Satan has, in his deceitful, scheming, very conniving way, snuck in on our lives. But God, the Holy Ghost, is the strength. When I see the descriptive terms of Jesus Christ, one of them, he talks about him being a lamp to our pathway. Have you ever heard that? The lamp to our pathway. What are we talking about? Well, Pastor, that's easy. That when we don't know what tomorrow holds, as long as we walk with him, he just gives us light and we can see what tomorrow holds. But it's much deeper than just that. That's true, but it's deeper. A lamp exposes things in the darkness that you don't see, doesn't it? You can take a flashlight in a dark room. You can be standing in a dark room where there's a door, and without a flashlight, you wouldn't know there was a door there. When you turn the flashlight on and kind of hold it up, that light reflects off the ceiling, and you can see around, and you see, well, there's a door. There's a way out. So when Jesus is talking about him being a light or a light or a pathway, talks about it in Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is. He's talking about the revelation or the realization of what's going on around us in darkness. Now, darkness is not just symbolic of, but darkness is the dwelling place of Satan. He is darkness, and all of the demonic spirits, the angelic force that gave up their place in heaven and voluntarily followed him, they live and dwell in darkness. That's why at the end of time, when Jesus is talking, he said that I'm going to take those and they're going to enter outer or endless or outer darkness, a darkness that is beyond comprehension. I don't know if you've ever been in the the cave here at Silver Dollar City, but they take you a tour, and when you get down in the belly of the cave, they turn the lights off to show you what absolute darkness is, and it's so thick you can almost touch it. You cannot see anything at all. And he talks to people that follow ways other than the ways of God, and he says that at the end of time they're going to enter outer darkness and eternal darkness, because that's the dwelling place of Satan. So Jesus says to us who are born by man, and we are born under the Adamic curse or the curse of Adam. We can't help that. We're generational. That happened before we got there. And I can tell you the only reason why it did is that we weren't there. It would have happened sooner. Think about that one. Don't blame Adam for what you would have done, is what I'm saying. Adam just happened to be the first bunch out of the creation, and he followed exactly his humanity with Eve, and they brought darkness into a place that was completely illuminated by the presence of God. That darkness wasn't just darkness of the day and the night, but the darkness was the darkness of the mind. You see, as surely as you're a child of God, if you do not know Jesus Christ tonight, and you haven't accepted Jesus, and let me tell you something, contrary to some doctrines, you just can't make a statement, I believe in Jesus, and everything's all right from then on. You have to live for Jesus. It's a process. It's a process that we choose of abandoning darkness and walking in the light of God. And when we walk in that light and we've abandoned the darkness, then we have the revelation of the Holy Spirit, or that light comes into our thinking as well. Our mind was dark prior to our salvation, But after we were saved, God brought light into our mind. How many of you see things differently than you used to see them before you knew Jesus? Anybody? Have you ever got tickled at yourself at some of the things when you were a new Christian that you thought were fine? And when you get a little bit older, you go, oh no, did I say that or did I do that? And you realize as you grow, the light of God illuminates things in your mind. When we serve God, we're not like the children of the devil. And you say, Pastor, are you saying that the devil has children? As surely as we're sitting here today, the devil has children. But Jesus is talking about the children of the devil in John chapter 8. And he says this in John chapter 8, verse 42, if God were your father, you would have loved me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Now listen to what I'm saying right here. Children of the devil, people that are not saved, I'm not saying they're demonic, I'm not saying they're demon-possessed, I'm telling you though, they're children of the devil. Their mind is darkened, and they don't have the light of God, so the revelation of Scripture isn't theirs. They cannot understand. Have you ever been someplace where there were non-Christians and Christians, and you felt the presence of God and could not understand how everybody could? You would think everybody should feel that presence, but there were people there that didn't understand it, didn't know what was going on, didn't feel what, you know, they may have a little of emotion, but they didn't feel the presence of God. It's because they don't understand the language of God. They don't understand the knowledge and understanding of God. This is Jesus talking when I'm reading these scriptures. You belong, he said this to those who are unable to hear what I say. He said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Now listen to this. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, and for his lies and all the father let me read that again. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So here is Jesus talking to these people, and he's saying that you're one of the two. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. You live in darkness, and your mind is clouded, and your eyes are blinded, and you don't understand. Or you live in the light that he just talked about previously in Matthew. You live in the light of God that illuminates not only the decisions you make, and I want us to get way past that. It's much more than just the decisions and the direction that we go in life. This light is an illuminating light that shows us right from wrong and gives us direction and leads us by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the schemes of the devil. Now, Satan is full of schemes. If you don't believe that he would try to trick you, look at Matthew chapter 4, and we see the temptation of Christ. Jesus, led by the Spirit, says in the very first verse of chapter 4, then Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, but the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God. Now that, right now, we're starting out. You see, look what Jesus said when I just read that scripture previously. He said every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. Isn't that what it says? That's his native language. Here he comes to, this is Lucifer, manifests himself to Jesus when Jesus is in the flesh. He'd been in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he'd been fasting. Satan misunderstood the fasting and hunger as weakness, when fasting and that kind of hunger creates strength in the life of a believer. So he wasn't coming against Jesus in a weakened state. He was coming against Jesus fully charged with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he comes against him in his humanity as a man, and he tries to question him. So the very first words out of his mouth, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread," hit you at the very point of your weakness. He was hungry. After 40 days, you have a right to be hungry, don't you? He was hungry, and he comes to him and tries to tempt him there. But Jesus, who was the light, answered, "It is written that man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He says that your sustenance and your strength and your power comes in two forms. Number one, he's the light, and God's word is your strength. Amen? So when we have the light of God that lights up, not just God, should we buy a car or shouldn't we buy a car? God, should I go to this job or take this job? God, should we go into debt and buy this thing or not? And that's what we have minimized this to. Or God, as you light my path, don't let me go down the wrong path. Don't let me fall off the path and become a sinner again. My friends, listen to me. I told somebody this morning, and it's so true, and it's such a sweet thing. If you want to serve God, he's going to help you to. If you have a desire to serve God, you don't have to be afraid of falling. He is going to help you. That desire keeps you on his path. But this light that he's talking about lightens up the darkness around you so that you can see the schemes of the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight that God showed me quite a while back, but he's allowed me just to hold it in myself for a while for tonight. And those of you that are here are going to hear something that's going to cause you to be able to come against the enemy with a whole new approach. And I can guarantee victories in your life where you've struggled through difficulties in your life in the past. The Bible says, when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're always talking about the armor of God, but listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now listen, what have I taught you for the 10 years I've pastored you here? Don't read too fast. Don't go to the punchline too quick, because you'll miss about 10 punchlines on your way. He said this, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." He's saying live in the power that God makes available to you. "Put on the full armor of God." So, for this reason, that's what this word means, "for this reason, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Satan is a schemer. Satan is a liar. Satan is a conniver. But there is something about Satan too I want you to know. Satan cannot read your mind. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is not omniscient. And Satan is not omnipotent. He is not all powerful. He is not every place at once. He's one place at once. And Satan doesn't have the wisdom of anything other than his experience that God has allowed him to have. So Satan is, and Satan's limited in his power. We have given Satan more power than Satan has by our lack of understanding of the word. Do you know that a lack of understanding of the word will give Satan the upper hand to come in and to plant seeds of discourse and problems in your family, in your personal life, in your job, and in everything you do? Have you ever been mad at somebody? Three of you have. Good. Well, if you all ever experience that emotion, you're going to know it's not real pleasant. Have you ever been jealous? Let me have a 12, 13, 14. Yeah. Well, if you ever have, you'll understand it's not a pleasant experience. Have you ever been fearful? Sure. And when you have, you understand it's not a pleasant experience. And how do we deal with these situations? I'm going to show you. Uncovering Satan and exposing Satan. When you uncover Satan, he knows his time is limited. When he came to Jesus in the temptation, and every time he tried to throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, it's written, and he misquoted the Psalms and spoke it wrong. But Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord your God. He said, bow down, worship me, I'll give the kingdoms of the world. Jesus said, I already got them. Don't need them. Satan doesn't have anything you need. He doesn't have anything you really want. Are you listening tonight? Listen closely to my word, because you'll need this in your life. When you uncover Satan, he knows his time is limited. When you expose Satan, you gain an upper hand on him immediately by exposing him. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to give you an example and let you understand what he's saying. We can use the scripture to understand something, and we can use the power of the name of Jesus to enforce that scripture, and he wants us to. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that Jesus went across the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. Now, I've been there, and I've seen that. He's talking about the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret. It's all the same place. It runs from north to south. The Jordan River comes out of the bottom and goes to the Dead Sea down further south, down when you get to around Bethlehem and Jericho and that area, and you can come. But up in this area on the east side, if the Mediterranean Sea is here and Israel's here, and the Sea of Galilee is right here where he did a lot of his preaching on the east side of that, before you get over the top of the mountain range and go into Jordan, you're in the Sea of Galilee. And on that mountain range, when you're on the east bank of the lake of Sea of Galilee, on the northeast side, there's a place called the Gadarenes, or where this man was. It's a God-forsaken area. Now, you can see little buildings up in the mountains. How they live, I have no idea, but they seem to exist in those areas, and people do. But this is called the area of the Gadarenes, and it is a God-forsaken, not a sprig of grass anywhere, even though the Sea of Galilee is a beautiful, fish-filled, wonderful place up in the hills. And Jesus got off of the ship there, that boat, and he walks up on this rocky crags and desolate area, only to see this man who is demonic. Now, I'm talking about he is demon-possessed by his own acknowledgement. The devils acknowledge God, but there's a legion, and I've heard so many different numbers of legion. I don't know how many legions. It could be as many as 3,000, they say. But here he is, and he runs to Jesus, and when he sees Jesus, here's what happens. Now listen to this. And when he crossed the sea into the region of the Gadarenes, when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So he couldn't be bound. He was free to do what he wanted to do. He had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and broke the iron with his feet on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This was a scary dude. I mean, you're in your house having dinner, and all of a sudden you hear this eek, screech, weak, terrible, horrible, crying, howling noise, and chills run up and down your back, and go, that's the crazy man from the tombs. And people have been beaten by him, trying to subdue him, and they knew just to leave him alone. And when Jesus saw him from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of Jesus, in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He acknowledged him, didn't he? Satan always has to acknowledge Jesus when he's in his presence. I'm not asking you this, I'm telling you this. Satan has to acknowledge the presence of God. Now, I want to tell you something on that note, a little side trail here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you need to act like it. You need to live like it, and you need to believe in who you are. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not, you're not the power, you're the building, you're the temple. But the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you as a believer. And when you walk into the presence of sheer evil, it's not your job for the building to crack and fall apart. It's your job to just stand still and let the resident in that temple do his work. God will do that work. You don't have to be afraid, is what I'm telling you, when you walk into the presence of evil or sin. You don't have to be intimidated by sin. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit of God is well able to take care of himself in the presence of evil. If you believe that, say amen. He can take care of himself. When this man saw Jesus, he ran to him, and I can picture him having been there. He had to run, jumping from rocks to rocks and down little gullies and up places, and he ran to him, and when he got on the ground, he goes, "What do you want to do with me?" He goes, "I understand that you're Jesus, the Son of the Most High God." He knew he was Yeshua. He knew he was the coming Messiah. He knew he was God in the flesh. He knew him from before time when he served him at the temple of God, and when he was one of the angels that worshiped but voluntarily rebelled against God, but he recognized the God that created him. And Jesus was all of that. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, and here is the most important part of this message tonight. This came out to me in the light of in the path of God that he gives me, the revelation of God. When I read this, and I'd read this for my entire life, but a few months, almost maybe a year ago, the Lord showed me this, and when he showed me this, it was like light came into another area that I hadn't seen before when he said this, "What is your name?" Now, that didn't mean anything to me in the past except for this. Jesus had a crowd of people around him, and Jesus wanted to expose him for who he was. Do you know we don't call sin, sin anymore? We call it tolerance and intolerance. If you're tolerant, you're okay. If you're intolerant, you're a bigoted, ignorant, whatever. But I want to tell you this, sin is still sin. And Satan is still Satan. And what's right is still right, and what's wrong is still wrong, and it was written before time existed, what is correct and what's incorrect in the lives of believers. You're not going to change that because you don't agree with the Bible. All you've done is put on some dark colored glasses and can't see as clearly as you could before. Take your glasses off and agree with the Word of God, because the Word of God is infallible. And it'll show you. He said, Jesus, when he said, "You're the Son of God, I know who you are. What have you come to do with me?" Jesus asked him something that he already knew. He knew who he was. He knew every demon by name that was inside that man. He could have called them out one at a time. Get out here by name until he got them all out and had them there in front of him. He could have made them manifest themselves in front of him. But Jesus just said, what is your name? He talked to the combined problem. And when he did, this enemy, this demonic spirit that was inside said, my name is Legion, for there are many of us. For we are many. Here's what Jesus did that he showed me. He took the cover off of the problem of that man. Now, that man had been diagnosed with insanity. He was criminally insane. He was mean. His daddy beat him. He was raised poor. All of the excuses that everything gives us in life that this is what our problem is. But the problem with this man was sin. And the problem of this man was that he was demonic, or he was filled with demonic spirits. When Jesus took the cover off of this man and the people around there are listening to him, all of a sudden they see a different guy. This isn't just a crazy man that's insane and mean now. This man is demonic. The second that Jesus asked him, why did Jesus ask them? Because every time Jesus, do you think Jesus knew? Let me ask you this. When Bartimaeus came to Jesus and he comes to him like this, and Jesus said, what do you want from me? Don't you think he had a little hint what was going on there? What about when the man came and he's screaming, unclean, unclean, because by the law he had to do it until he could get by Jesus. And he looked at him and said, if you would, you could heal me. Would you heal me? Jesus said, what do you want? Don't you think he knew he had leprosy? Do you? Don't you think every time Jesus asked someone, have you ever thought about that in the Bible? Why Jesus asked someone the most obvious question in the world? They are blind and leprosy and crippled, and he says, what do you want? I'm going to tell you what he's doing every time. He's pulling the cover off of sin and Satan. What are you saying, that sickness is because you sin? No, I'm saying sickness is a direct result of sin, the original sin. There was no sickness until man fell, was there? There was none. If we get sick today, it's because of the Adamic curse that we live under, and it's a result of sin, not my personal sin. I live in an environment where sickness can come. But when I realize the source of my sickness is the devil, oh, now we're getting somewhere. The source of my leprosy is sickness, it's the devil. The source of this man's problem wasn't because he was mistreated and needed counseling. It was because he was demonic. Listen to this. When you uncover the enemy, you automatically have placed yourself in a position of authority over that enemy as a child of God. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm saying. When you uncover, you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll tell you. I was sitting down at a table one time with a young preacher that's pastoring out in West Virginia today, him and his brother. And he talked to me for about an hour, and he says, what do you think that my problem is? And he's trying to tell me. And I said, your problem is fear. And this is the wrong guy to say to, because he used to be a truck driver. And he was tougher than nails. And he looked at me and he said, you're wrong. Just like, I ain't afraid of nothing. And I said, no, your problem's fear. He goes, no, my problem's not fear. I said, yeah, it is too. It's fear. And it's fear of rejection. And the more I started talking to this guy, and the more he looked me in the face and said, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You've never been more wrong. The more all of a sudden tears got in his eyes. And before long, he started crying. And all of a sudden, as I peeled off the layers of the enemy, it came down to this situation of fear over this particular area. What about jealousy? You know what jealousy is? Jealousy is fear. It's a fear of rejection. Well, I don't want you to be friends with that person because they're my friend first, and next thing you know, you guys will be running around together and you'll forget me. That's rejection. Jealousy is a fear of rejection. It's not just mean. But where did it come from? I can tell you because Satan, what did I say? What did it say in Ephesians? That the devil has schemes. That he says, put on the full armor of God so you'll be aware of the schemes. I want to tell you something. Every time you become aggravated, and I need to remember this more, because we all get aggravated, but every time we become aggravated, it's the father of confusion. The devil is planting a seed, trying to cause problems in our marriage, in our home, in our friends, in our family. And when we say something we shouldn't say and a little squabble gets started there, the core of that is the enemy. You know how to heal these things and how to handle the enemy? Is stop right where you are. Stop right where you are and expose it for what it is. It's not you and I mad at each other. It's not the fact that jealousy has overcome me. It's the fact the enemy has tried to destroy me with his schemes. And when I realize that the source of my problem is the devil, I can come against that with the power of the name of Jesus Christ and rebuke it. And I can tell you that 99.9% of the situations you find yourself involved in life is nothing but one of the schemes of the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you start thinking this way, the world's going to look at you as a fanatic and a nut because you've heard them say there's a devil behind every bush. I'm going to tell you something that's probably more true than it's not. He's the author of confusion. He's a liar. He's a schemer. He causes fear, doubt, dread, despondency. He tries to put words in your mouth to quit, give up, bow down, and serve him. And when we don't do that, and we come to him in the power of the name of Jesus, then all of a sudden the light of God comes to us, and we can see it for what it is, and we start to realize it. There are times, as pastor of this church, there have been times that I literally wanted to get in the car and drive that way toward Louisiana or New Orleans or Florida and come back never before again because I felt like I might have let you down. Or the burden was too heavy and too hard, and I'm all of a sudden I'm in that feeling, and I begin to realize God showed me that's not you, and that's not my plan, and that's not my will, but this is the enemy attacking you. And when I realize it's an attack of the enemy, I pull the cover off of him, and when I realize it's that, then I can go against the source. It wasn't the pressure of the job. It wasn't the burden and responsibility. It wasn't the financial load. It wasn't nothing. It was the devil trying to get me to his ways of stealing, killing, and destroying, to give up and quit and walk away. And when I realize that, then I can come against the source of the problem and say, in the name of Jesus, I come against you. Let me tell you what the word says. Jesus says this in John chapter 16. In that day, everyone say, in that day. This is chapter 16, verse 23, and we are in that day now. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Whoa, listen to what he's saying. I'm going to make access to God. I'm going to be the intercessor that goes to God so you can. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you some of the things. It says whatever. Did you see this? My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So every situation we have, we come in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you that a lot of the things that are going on in your life today are not what you've diagnosed them as being. They're an attack of a demonic spirit world that Ephesians talked about and told us that come against you and try to destroy you and dissuade you and cause you to quit and give up, and we have to be aware of them. Listen again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against, listen to this, rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to, when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. This is the things we're fighting about. This is the battleground that you have right here. Your battleground is between your ears. And when Satan comes into your mind and plants things, or problems pop up, and you write them off like children of the devil, in the world they live by happenstance. They live by circumstances and environments. But we are different. We are children of God. And if I can get you to understand that there's not a day or a minute or a second of your day that's just happenstance, you're directed on a path that's lit by the luminous power of the Holy Ghost, and you're not by yourself in this thing, and God has given you all the information you know to pull the covers off of the devil and see what he's doing, and then in Jesus' name, come against them. You want to stop a fight at home? Let me tell you how to do it. Next time there's an argument starts at home, stop right there and say, This is the devil. This isn't us. And don't point at each other and say that. This is confusion, and the devil is the father and the author of confusion. You want to really destroy him? When you get in conflict with somebody, if they're a child of God, the next time, are you listening to this? The next time you get in conflict and you want somebody's head, and they want yours, and you're just going to quit, give up, walk away, and all that baloney, stop just for a second and say, hold it. That's not God's plan for me or you. Let's just pray right now. And in Jesus' name, Father, we come against you, and we ask you to remove this attack of the enemy that's tried to destroy our family, our friendship, our home, our marriage, our relationship. God, in Jesus' name, we agree together in your name that you will break this chain that's trying to wrap itself around us. Listen to me. If you heard what I just said, if you do that, you're exposing the devil and resisting the devil. And the Word of God gives us absolute, complete, unquestionable truth that when we challenge the devil with resistance in his Word, he has to flee. How many of you would rather live in peace than in turmoil? Then what I'm telling you works right now. The next time you get sick, here's what you do. Father God, heal this temperature. Take away the body pains and aches. Help me, God, to have enough strength to struggle up and get on my feet and get to church. God, no, that's what you do. Come against him and say, Father God, sickness came from the fall of Adam, and it wasn't your plan. But I'm not a child of Adam anymore. I'm a child of the Most High God. And I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to restore my body in Jesus' name. And you can pray for yourself, and God will hear you. Do you believe what I'm telling you? You know why it doesn't happen? Because we don't practice it. The next time you're around something that is tempting you to step over that line just a little bit, some words or some actions or some thoughts or some ways that are tempting you to do something that you know isn't just exactly right, and you start to step over that, don't do that. Realize that's a scheme of the devil trying to destroy you, and go to God and say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, and I see the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's trying to do that to me right now, and I pray, God, through the light of God, enlighten my mind to see that I don't need this anymore, that you'll give me strength and power over. You stop and pray right there. My friends, what I'm saying is call sin, sin. call sin, sin. And say, I'm not going to do that. And in Jesus' name, I'm asking you, God, to do what's right. And when you do, I'm going to tell you what happens. The Holy Spirit begins to take the cover off of sin. I can't tell you, I can't tell you how the Holy Spirit showed me this and illuminated my life to this, but I can assure you, if you'll listen to me and the Scripture, the Word of God, as He teaches us, He'll show you. Listen to this in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says this, therefore God exalted Him. This is Jesus. God exalted Him to the highest place. Now, if God's highest place is higher than my higher place, wouldn't you say? He's talking about Jesus, His Son. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. All right, now here it is. Listen to this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and where else? Right here, right now. So that's where you come against the enemy, in the name of Jesus, when anything outside of the realm of the righteousness of God comes to your life. And recognize it. I can't tell you how many times that I've been hit with an attack of the enemy, and I felt like I had, Ruth has seen me, it feels like I had 10 million pounds on my shoulders and I can't even get up, and all of a sudden in the load of that, I'm trying to take that responsibility on, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, look what it is, it's an attack of the enemy. And as soon as He says that, it's Him pulling the cover off the enemy, and I turn around and go, oh, that's what it is. Well, I didn't understand that I can come against that in Jesus' name. And when I begin to come against it in Jesus' name, Father God, in Jesus' name, help me and strengthen me. Immediately there's a lift that starts coming off of me, and everything's changed because I know that that exposure of Satan causes him to flee. When we cover sin, when we cover Satan's schemes, when we cover his cunning and his trickery and his traps, we fall into them, we're subject to them, but when we ask the Holy Ghost to uncover them, Satan knows his time's up. The second Jesus walked on that bank, that legion of devils said this. Let me read it. This is what they said. Therefore God hath exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the demonic world. Listen to this. This is talking about the demonic powers on earth have to bow at the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. We ought to say hallelujah because of His name. And every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And listen to this, to the glory of God the Father. They do that. When you bring Jesus to the fight, Satan cannot do anything but bow and confess and say who He is. He is Lord. Jesus said to them, go into the abyss. He let 3,000 hogs drown, and they went into hell to be held in captivity to the day of His return, where they'll be hurled into outer darkness for eternity. My friends, listen to me. When Satan comes against you, you have to have this revelation power, the light of God in your life. You have to go to God and say, Father God, I pray that You reveal to me what's going on here. When you're confused, when you're angry, when you become fearful, when you become jealous, when you become hopeless, when you don't know what tomorrow holds, don't give up. Don't walk away. Just go to God and say, Father God, you are the light to my path. You're the illumination. You're the Holy Spirit that lightens my mind and teaches me from day to day what I'm going to do and how you're going to lead me. And I'm asking you, Father God, in Jesus' name, show me. And when you start praying that kind of prayer, when you say, Father God, I'm angry, and I don't want to be angry because there's results from anger, and I'll say something or do something I shouldn't do. God, help me. When you turn to God, God will pull the cover off of the enemy. Do you believe what I'm telling you tonight? I'm telling you, you can win more battles before they fester and become problems by exposing the devil than you can believe. But you have to understand that the majority of the issues that hit you in the life are satanic in origin. You have to understand that. You'll be considered a fanatic. But if you're willing to be a fanatic, you're going to be thought of as losing your spiritual reputation sometimes because you're going to say things that religious people won't be comfortable with. Because the world has almost eliminated the devil. Do you know that 38% of Americans believe there's actually a devil? 38%, that's all. The rest of Americans believe he's just a symbol of evil. That he's not a real... Well, when he knows that, he can have a ball. But I'm telling you, he is a being. He's a spirit being created by God. And he fell from his place, and he took with him a third of the angels of heaven. They became demonic. He became the chief demon. And he is the enemy of your soul. And he, in darkness, comes around and tries to bring confusion. He tries to bring hurt. You ever had your feelings hurt? Listen to me. When you get your feelings hurt next time, how many wants to really grow up in God? Let me see your hands. Then listen to what I'm saying and quit. Let's quit being children. When you get your feelings hurt next time, and I get mine hurt, instead of going, oh, boo-hoo and all that baloney and how bad I was treated, go to the Lord and say, Father God, this is the enemy trying to destroy that relationship between me and that other person. And I refuse to let that happen in Jesus' name. Even though they meant what they said, I'm not going to let it tarnish me. I'm not going to let it come into my life. What about when somebody lies about you? Father, kill them. And then, Lord, then I'll praise you. No, sir. No, you'll have blood on your hands then. See, the Bible, Jesus said he was a murderer. Do you know how he murdered? He murdered him through you. That's how he did it. He's a liar. He's a schemer. So the next time somebody says something about you that's not true, or even if it is true, but God's covered under the blood at your past, and they bring it out like it's their duty, go to the Lord and say, Father God, help me not to be harmed by the devil's attempt to destroy me. My friends, if you have someone you know that's a child of God and you've got a problem with them, the devil would do anything in his power to keep you at odds with that person, because that's division in the family. And division causes cracks, and cracks causes crumbling walls. if you'll realize this, it's not who's right or who's wrong. Don't get into that. Don't go back and say, don't go back to, I forgive you, Whitney, because you were wrong, but I forgive you, you lucky duck. That's not how you do it. You go back and say, Whitney, I'm a child of God, you're a child of God, and it's just not worth it. Let's just bury the hatchet and forget it under the blood. Hold my hand and ask Jesus, in Jesus' name, forgive me if I've done anything to hurt you. And you say the same back. And Jesus will, I'm going to tell you, he'll heal you. Was it Charles Wesley? I think it was. Charles Wesley was getting ready on a Sunday afternoon to preach. And he had a friend that had traveled with him. Was it John Wesley? John Wesley. I have a resident theologian I usually look to here. And John Wesley was getting ready to preach, and he had a friend that was a male secretary that traveled with him every place, like a brother. And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, and the post office in England happened to be open until 5. And he told his friend, I want you to take this letter. It has to be mailed today to get to this next place where I'm going, and I need you to do it. And his friend, who was his secretary that worked for him, that did these things, said, let me have it. I'll get it down there. And John said, no, you don't understand. You have to do it now. I mean, you've got to do it right now or it won't make it. And he said, I'm tired of you telling me what to do. You hear me? Just like I tell Ruth that. Those jobs you have me do all the time. You don't do anything. She works 3 times harder than me. But that's what it'd be like. I'm tired of that. And John Wesley was set back. What do you mean? I just ask you to take this down. He goes, yeah, but I'm tired of being told what to do. And the spirit, the devil planted a seed in this man. Now, let me tell you how it works. And he was just angry. He was just tired of helping and being a good helper and all that stuff. And so John Wesley said, well, let me have the letter. But he said, you know what this means? If you won't do what I ask you, when I ask you, it means that our relationship is broken and we'll have to separate. And you know what his secretary said to him? Fine with me. Adios, I'll take another train home. John said, let me have the letter. He got the letter, and he himself walked down to that mail post office, dropped it in, and made it back in time to preach. He preached that night and went to bed. The next morning, he was starting to get on the train, and his friend was standing over on the train area with his suitcase with his little nose in the air, like, I'll show you. I mean, I'm telling you, we all have had relationships like this. May have them right now. And John Wesley walked over to him and he said, are you getting ready to leave? And he said, yes, I am. Very cold. You understand that this is you leaving the ministry. I know it, but that's fine. John Wesley took off his hat and he got down on his knees in front of this man. And he said, we've been together for many years, and I understand what the devil's trying to do, but I'm asking you to forgive me. Forgive me. And when he did, the light of God came into this man's life. He was a Christian. But the understanding, the realization of what Satan was trying to do came in. And this man began to weep and began to cry and said, why are you asking me for forgiveness? You haven't done anything. You just asked me to mail a letter. I'm the one that's angry inside. John says, it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. I just don't want there to be anything between us. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And the story goes that this man literally fell on top of John Wesley and began to sob and cry and weep and said, I'm sorry for what I've done. It welded their friendship together because instead of letting there be a separation, one of them broke the old tough flesh cracked the clay and went to another one and said, let's not let this separate us. We're both children of God. And God healed them. John Wesley realized that conflict and confusion and hurt and lies can be destroyed when you pull the cover off of the author of that confusion. And it's almost in every circumstance, it's Satan working in good people's lives. Do you believe what I'm telling you tonight? God is teaching us something tonight that you'll say, well, I don't want to look weak all the time. No, you don't look weak. You're strong. You'll look stronger, be more powerful than anybody you've ever been around in your life. God will strengthen you, and you'll become a spiritual giant if you'll follow what I told you tonight. It will set you free. It will set you free by exposing the enemy. Every time you expose Satan, every time you take the cover off of who he is, it creates an atmosphere for victory. When we turn to God and use the name of Jesus, it assures the victory in our lives. Now, I believe that God didn't give me this word just to have a good thought tonight for some of you. But I believe God gave me this word for you to be able to put in the arsenal of your life and begin to practice exposing the enemy right now.